Well, as we step into the fall, it was a couple weeks ago, and I was having some conversations with people, and some conversations with people in this room, and conversations with people in different places, and just hearing stories, hearing the stories of people's lives. And I always love and actually consider it an honor when somebody opens up and shares just the junk that they're going through, just the real crap of their life. And I remember having conversation after conversation and coming back with just a question. And a question and a prayer with the Lord, and just really saying, Lord, is there any hope? Is there really any hope for tough situations, for people that are going through it, for them to experience freedom? And not just experience freedom, like a little dab of freedom here or there, but to really walk in freedom. To walk in the freedom that the Lord has purchased for us. And so as I was praying, and as the elders here were praying about this upcoming season, just this real word of freedom and helping one another take steps, take a step, another step with the Lord to maybe have those burdens, those things that you carry around, have carried around for years, to be finally lifted off of our shoulders. And that's why I appreciate, Gary, you sharing that testimony this morning, because that's not just a coincidence that you shared that this morning. And there's nothing that's a coincidence. Like, you hear all these stories, and God is specifically at work. But that testimony this morning just really encouraged me. Something for years that was a sore spot, a spot of just real heaviness. The Lord brought you by that house and has transformed your heart, has brought about so much freedom. And only the Lord can do that. And that's what the Lord wants to do in all of our lives. And it's not just a couple people here or there that are walking through brokenness in their life. If we're honest, if we're really, like, really bold and honest with one another, we all have stuff in our lives, don't we? We all have stuff that is just nagging at us. Those things that are like, you know what, I wish I could really just get rid of this. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe there's talking about a broken relationship. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your life. And how does, like, the Lord bring freedom into that area of our lives? How does the Lord, even before, like, we experience restoration, how does the Lord do the deep work in our hearts of healing and bringing about wholeness in our hearts? As we enter this fall season, I'm just such after freedom and just longing to see all of us, myself included, walk in the freedom of the Lord. Because believers, followers of Jesus, we should be, because of the cross, we should be the most free people in the world. Shouldn't we? Walking around, knowing that there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Knowing that our sins have been taken care of. Knowing that the past is gone. We're a new creation in Christ. Just this Thursday, there was a man, there's a newspaper, not here locally, but nationally. Man by the name of Brian Hooper, and there's a picture of him up on the screen. Brian Hooper, you probably don't know him, but is down in Georgia, I believe. And this Thursday, after spending 30 years in prison, he was released. See, 30 years ago, he was sentenced to 3 lifelong sentences. Sentenced to life, 3 life sentences. For a crime that they believe that he committed, a horrible crime. He spent 30 years, but just this past Wednesday, somebody came forward and said, you know what? It wasn't Brian who committed the crime. It was me. And so after 30 years, a man who was innocent walked out. And how did he spend that night? Spent the night hanging out with his family, going out to eat, and plans to live in a neighborhood with his family. And we look at that story and we think about Brian and we think about his life. Man, he's experiencing this freedom. He's experienced a new life. Like, everything changed in an instant. But what would happen if you were talking to Brian and all of a sudden Brian said, you know what? I'm just going to go back in. You'd be like, no. You're given freedom. You're given a new life. Walk in the freedom that you now have. Don't go back to your old way of life. But I look at that and I think about that so often. We, as far as from Jesus, we experience the freedom. We know that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But then the old, the past, kind of starts to pull us back. And here is the underlying message that we see all throughout Scripture. And if I could make it just so simple as this, is that God desires you and I to have freedom. God is a God of freedom. He longs for us to walk in freedom, to walk in this new life all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis 1, there was Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, they were hanging out and talking, and it says that they were naked and they had no shame. There was freedom. There was peace of relationship, peace between Adam and Eve, peace between Adam and Eve and God. And then even fast forward, and sin came in, and God chased after Adam and Eve and said, "Where are you? I long to have this relationship with you." And he covered their nakedness with an animal that he had sacrificed. But then the story continues throughout the Old Testament, and the people of God all of a sudden become slaves, slaves to Egypt. And we might know this story about what happened in Egypt. And they were under slavery. And it says they cried out. And I love this. It says God heard their cries. God heard their cries, and he was moved to act, and he raised up one called Moses, named Moses, to bring freedom to his people. You think about the Psalms, and David had a number of Psalms. He said, "I was in a dark place, and you lifted me up. You set my feet on a solid rock. You put a new song in my heart." God is constantly wanting to bring freedom into our lives, and that is clearly seen in Jesus. Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God, when he came onto the scene and lived 30 years where nobody really heard about what he was doing. They heard that he lived little pieces here and there. But then he walked into the temple one day in Luke 4, and he opened up to Isaiah 61. And this is what he said. This is what he read up on the screen. See Luke 4 up there? There you go. He read this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He read that from Isaiah 61, and he sat down and he said, "At this day, this passage is happening in your midst." And people didn't take kindly to that. They actually kicked him out and kicked him out of the city, pushed him out of the city, and was going to stone him on that day. But you see, the heart of God is all about freedom. All about freedom. Setting the captives free. Opening up the eyes of the blind. Get an interaction with a couple people in John chapter 8. And this is what Jesus said. This is his heart. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "Well, we're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God's heart is for our freedom. And if I could like circle that word over and over again, freedom, that is God's heart, his whole desire for us, is that we would walk in freedom. And if there is a verse that boldly proclaims this, it's Galatians 5. It says, "It's for freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Freedom. It's God's heart for us. He says, stand in that freedom. It's a picture of a soldier standing firm, confidently in place, not being moved. God's saying, stand in the freedom that Christ purchased for you. This is God's desire, and this is the motivation that I have going into the fall, is longing to see all of us experience the freedom that Christ died for. But if you read Scripture, if you look at Scripture, you see kind of this sad cycle that takes place. You see some sad verses that just really, you know, punch a hole in your gut. You're like, "Oh, how did this happen? Why did you guys do this?" And if you go to Judges 2, there's a sad verse that just breaks my heart every time I read it. If we back up just a little bit, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Joshua is empowered by God and he leads the people into the promised land. And they conquer their enemies, and they're given the promised land, the land that the Lord bought for them, God gave them to them. And there they are, they're establishing their place in the land, and it says that at the end of Joshua, it says that they had peace in the land, and that they worship the Lord, they follow the Lord all the days of their life. I mean, we have this verse in Joshua chapter 24 that says, Joshua stands up and he says, the Lord has given you this land, and it's for me and my family. We're going to serve the Lord, but you got to figure out who are you going to serve. And all the people of Israel, they stand up and they say, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. And it is true, like all the days of their lives, Joshua and the elders who saw the miraculous work of God, it says that they worshiped and served the Lord. But then in Judges, it gets to this, and it says this in Judges 2. After Joshua died, after those who saw the miraculous work of God, after they died, it says this, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. They passed away. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, they served idols. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Let that sink in. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the work that the Lord had done. They had forgotten God. So instead of going from freedom, living in freedom from one generation to the next, it says in Judges 3 that they forgot what the Lord had done. They went from freedom to forgetting. All of a sudden, they were maybe worshiping, and then there was a generation that rose up, and they're like, all right, why are we doing what we're doing? Who is this, God anyway? The stories were not passed down from one generation to the next. One generation didn't tell the other. And so there was a generation that forgot. You know, it's easy to forget. We like to think, you know what, we're going to remember always. We're going to always remember. It's always going to be fresh on our minds, maybe something that had happened in our lives. This Thursday, anybody know what this Thursday is?
9/11.
Remember 24 years ago when 9/11 happened and the Twin Towers fell in New York, there was a phrase that people would say, I'll never forget. We're never going to forget. And in many ways, okay, we haven't forgotten, but it's still not the same feelings that we had 24 years ago. In some ways, I would say we've forgotten what happened. It's easy to forget. You know, maybe you have a child, and you remember the joy that the child brought into your life when he or she was born. And then later in life, there's just this frustration, and I would say that you forgot the joy that you had when you welcomed that child into your arms. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget stories. It's easy to forget how God has worked in our lives. And this is a dangerous place to be, forgetting. Forgetting who God is, forgetting what he has done, forgetting his power and his love. That's a bad place to be, because we move from there, forgetting. We see it in the verse that we looked at before. So all of a sudden they fell. They fell and they gave their hearts to idols. They sinned. It says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, God gave them over to suffering. You look at this next slide and it's just like craziness. Suffering, idols, sin. And that's what happened over and over again in Judges. As they forgot the Lord, they gave their heart to little idols. They gave their heart away, and the freedom that they once had was gone as they came under the oppression of their enemies for years. And they're back right where they began. But here's the good news. They cry out. They cry out to the Lord, and he says he hears their cry. He hears a cry, he delivers them, he raises up a judge, and he delivers them, and he gives them peace and freedom again. But here's the thing, you look at this, and this was a cycle that you see all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the book of Judges. They experience freedom, and then they forget it, and then they fall, and then they're suffering idols and sin. They cry out, God raises somebody up, and he restores them, and he brings freedom again. But you look at that cycle, that endless cycle of slavery. And you look at that picture, and for me, I'm like, that type of life is a life filled with craziness. That is not a life filled with peace. That is not a life filled with like, okay, this is the life that God had for us. This, you might be thinking, okay, that's kind of my life. But I would argue this is not the Christian life. This is not what God had intended. This is not the life that we are to live as followers of Jesus. In fact, I would offer up another cycle of walking in freedom. That we walk in freedom, the freedom that Christ purchased for us. And that we remember always who we are in Christ, the blood that he shed for us, the freedom that he provided, that we are a new creation, and out of that remembering who he is, we stand firm in that by faith. This is the life of freedom. This is the life that I want us, long for us, to press into as we step into the fall. Here's a couple of things about freedom as we begin this journey. First of all, I think the question is, what is freedom? What is freedom? What is the freedom that we are talking about? There's a definition of freedom, and it's up on the screen, and it's simply this. Freedom is the right to act, think, and speak as you want without restraint. I don't know about you, but that's not the type of freedom that I am after. We know a world that likes to speak as they want without restraint. We know that that isn't true freedom. That is like actually craziness, and that's actually somebody who is a slave to themselves. The freedom that we're after is not like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to think whatever I want to think. That is not the freedom that we're after. There's also another definition. Someone who says, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want to do and when I want to do it. That's not the freedom that we're after. In the Judges, there's another sad verse that says that there was no king in the land. And everyone did what they wanted to do. That is a world filled with craziness. I mean, you think about it. Someone just saying what they want to say whenever they want to say it. That's been the last 15 years of social media. I mean, that is just crazy town. So what is the freedom that we're after? What is the Christian freedom that we're after? And it's simply this. That at one time, you and I, without Christ, we were a slave to sin, a slave to the prince and the powers of this world. We were an enemy of God. But God purchased us with the blood of his son, Jesus. He were bought with a price. We were ransomed, not with the perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And because of that, this is the freedom that we're after, that we're free from guilt, free from the penalty of sin, free from legalism. Free to live the life that we were created to live. A life lived of worshiping God with our whole lives, but also loving others. Completely free. In the words of Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That the sin that we've carried, the sin that we've committed, the guilt that we've felt, that burden has been lifted from our shoulders. And we are sons and daughters of the King. Years ago, there was somebody who was an atheist on the TV, and he shared something really honestly. Someone who was putting faith in himself, and he just said, here's the thing, up on the screen there's this quote. He said this, what I envy about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. See, here's the beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is, yes, we've been forgiven. We have been set free by the blood of Jesus. But more than that, we've been brought into a family. We've been brought in, and now we can cry out to God as Abbas, or Father. We're sons and daughters, all because of the blood of Jesus. Somebody once said this, that Christianity, the gospel, is you walking into a courtroom, fully guilty. Guilty of the crime that you are there for. And you stand up, and they read the charges. And then all of a sudden, there is a claim over your life. That even though you're guilty, it's all been forgiven. That you have been set free. That is just as if you have never sinned or committed that crime. You have been justified. You are righteous. But more than that, this trial turns into an adoption case. And if you've ever been in a room, a courtroom, where there is an adoption taking place, there is so much joy. The kids run up to the bench where there's judges, and they're having high fives and signing things, and there's gifts and everything like that. The gospel transforms your trial into an adoption case, all through the blood of Jesus. And this is the freedom that we're after, the freedom of a soul that says, you know what? I belong. to God. He knows my name. He knows the thoughts that I think. He loves me. I am so precious to him. The confidence that comes in that through the blood of Jesus. That's the freedom that we're after. Walking around with our head high, saying, you know what? Things might happen in life, but I am free on the inside because I belong to the King of Kings. And that's why when it comes to freedom, freedom doesn't depend on our circumstances. Freedom doesn't depend on life going exactly how we want it to go. Because there's Paul in Philippians 4 who says this, you know what? He says, I know what it's like to have so much, but I know also what it's like to have nothing. And I have found that my strength doesn't come from either, it comes from Christ and Christ alone. And so I'm not talking about a peace or a freedom that comes knowing that our situation is good. Because I've seen people in prison. I've seen people in horrific situations, and they are the most free people because of their confidence in the Lord. And I've seen people who are free on the outside who are imprisoned on the inside. Freedom doesn't depend on our circumstances. But the freedom that we're after is a freedom that transforms our lives. But here's the thing. As our lives are transformed, and as we step into the fall, the thing that I know about freedom is that it's messy. Freedom is messy because grace is messy. And as things come out, all of a sudden there's just messes that have to get picked up. There's conversations that have to happen between people that hurt one another. It's messy. Think about all throughout Scripture, Jesus' interactions with people. They were messy. Think about the woman that he met at the well. She went there in the middle of the day to draw water. Why? Because she didn't want to see anybody. And so she goes to the well that day to draw water, thinking that she's going to be by herself, and there she encounters Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? If you want water that, that will leave you never thirsty, you drink from me. And she's like, what is this? And then Jesus says to her, well, why don't you go home and get your husband and come back and I'll talk to both of you. And then she says, I don't have a husband. I'm not married. And Jesus looked at her and goes, you're right. You don't have a husband. You have five. And the person you're with right now is not your husband. That's a messy situation. But here he talks with her. And the end result is her running back to the community that she did not want to see or interact with, and she's proclaiming loudly, come see the one who told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? And they come running to him, and many give their life to Jesus. Freedom is messy. I long to be part of a church, and this is, I know your heart as well, I long to be part of a church that's messy, not for messiness' sake, but messy because lives are being put back together by the goodness and the grace of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we get going into the fall, there will be times that are messy. We're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about, you know, addictions. We're going to talk about a lot of things as the Spirit leads. But I long to see the messiness that we see in Scripture portrayed here in a way where people find freedom in Christ. And we're running back. We're saying, hey, let me tell you about the one who told everything about my life and still loves me and accepts me and calls me his own. I want to leave with this. True freedom, though, we're going to experience true freedom. It actually requires becoming a slave. It's an interesting word all throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament. People say, call themselves by a unique term. Paul did, Titus did, Peter did. When they're writing their books, they say this, I'm Paul, I'm a slave to Jesus. And I know that word slave has a bunch of different connotations to it, a bunch of different feelings because of our country's past. But there in that first century culture, a slave was someone, the word that's used, is someone who gives themselves voluntarily to another, but gives themselves completely to another. Heart, mind, body, soul, to another. See, your freedom, my freedom, is only going to be found in becoming a slave to Christ, a servant of Christ. Paul was very clear about this in Romans 6, and I just want to leave this with you. There are people that are saying, hey, I've received grace. What then? Are we to keep sinning because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means, Paul says. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as an obedient slave, you are a slave of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you become a slave of righteousness. What Paul's saying is don't give your heart to sin. Don't be a slave to sin. You've been set free from that. Be a slave to Jesus. Be a slave to righteousness. Walk in the freedom that he purchased for you. And so as I look out of all of us this morning, this is my heart's cry, that we would walk in freedom because we become slaves of righteousness. We become a slave to Jesus, that we surrender completely to him, our good, good Father. And that's where it starts. I want you to bow your head right now. Freedom actually starts not doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Freedom starts with surrender. Freedom starts with you and I surrendering completely to Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you have never given your life to Jesus. The truth of Scripture is that you're an enemy of God without Jesus. That you're a child of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, gave up his son so that you could be reconciled to him. And so if you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never made him the Lord of your life, I would encourage you to do that today. Freedom is only found in Jesus. That he came to die the death that you deserve. Why? So that we could receive the life that he lived. And the simple reality is, that if we confess him with our mouth, if we believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible is clear. It says that you will be saved. You will become a child of God, fully belonging to him. But then, for others in this room, I just want to invite you into a journey with me, a journey of deeper surrender to Jesus. There's areas of our lives where we have surrender to him and we're obedient. But there are those areas of our lives where there's baggage, where there's hurt, where there's pain, where there's problems. And I just would invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, where is he inviting you to surrender more to Jesus? And it's not a surrender like, oh, my life is going to stink. No, it's a surrender to Jesus, the one who came to give us life and give it abundantly. So I just invite you to ask, where's the Lord asking you to surrender? Where is there bondage?